Let us open our Bibles to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and read the verses 46 to the end of the chapter. Mark, chapter 10, beginning at verse 46 to the end of the chapter. This will also be the text for this morning's sermon. The familiar account of Jesus' encounter and healing of blind Bartimaeus. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. And they commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose, and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Thus far the reading of Scripture and also our text for this morning's sermon. Dear congregation of Hamilton, we ask for favors all the time. Parents ask for favors of their children. Children ask for favors of their parents, and we might expect the favor. After all, sometimes we feel that others owe us something. But now, why would the Lord Jesus hear you? Deep down, what does the Lord Jesus owe you? What rights can you put forward as reasons why he should answer you? We meet a man this morning who has none and pleads for mercy. And that's why you can write over the sermon, "Sovereign Mercy to Blind Bartimaeus." Sovereign mercy to blind Bartimaeus. We'll see, first of all, it's needed, secondly, sought, and thirdly, received. Sovereign mercy to blind Bartimaeus. First of all, needed, secondly, sought, and thirdly, received. The Lord Jesus is on his final journey to the city of Jerusalem. He, together with other Hebrews, are going to that city for the feast of the Passover. And in less than 10 days, he will be the Passover lamb nailed to the cross on Golgotha. He has just said that in the verse before this account of blind Bartimaeus, verse 45 of Mark 10, that the Son of Man came to give his life a ransom for many. But when we meet him in our passage this morning, we meet him in Jericho, about 15 miles away from the city of Jerusalem. And what a crowd of people are passing through this city at this time. But Mark, the gospel writer, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, draws our attention to one man. He zooms in, he takes our attention away from the crowd and zooms in on one man sitting by the wayside begging. Who is he? What is his name? And now, in the healing miracles that the Lord Jesus performed, we're not often told the names of the sick whom Jesus healed. But this time we are. His name is Bartimaeus. Some say that his name is mentioned because Bartimaeus and his family became known in the early Christian church, and that's why the gospel writer Mark includes his name. Whether that is so, I don't know. But we know his name, Bartimaeus, which means, as Mark tells us, son of Timaeus. And Timaeus means honorable, highly prized. And is that maybe what his parents also wished and desired for this son? In the words of Isaiah 43 verse 4, since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. But when we meet him, we do not find him as a man of honor. As a man, we meet him without honor, as a man in need of mercy, as a man who's marked by misery. What can we say of him? Several things. For one thing, he can't see. He can't see. And that's a sad case. It was not as if he could see less than others. It's not as if he was partially blind. No, he was completely blind. He could not see what others could see. Others could see their mother's smiling faces, but he couldn't. Others could see in the dark of night, upwards, the sky filled with stars and the moon. Bartimaeus could not. Others could see beautiful birds and butterflies and flowers and trees, but not Bartimaeus. He lived in a world of complete darkness. And that's hard, especially if you've been able to see before. And that's how it seems for Bartimaeus, that there had been a time when he could see. For when the Lord Jesus asks what he wants, then he doesn't just say that he might see, but in the Greek another word is added, that I might see again. It's the same word that's used of Saul of Tarsus in Acts 9, who being blinded, yet would receive his sight again. What had happened in Bartimaeus' life? Did he begin to suffer from some eye disease, or did he have an accident? We're not told. But nonetheless, this is one thing we can say of him. He can't see. Secondly, he's not rich. He's not rich. No, he's a beggar. And that made things worse. You see, if he had been wealthy, then he still could have lived in luxury and he could have had servants attend to his needs. But he had no wealth. He has nothing. And in our day, that may not be so bad. For there are social welfare programs, and the government will seek to care for the poor. But Bartimaeus did not receive money from the Roman government. To survive, he listened for footsteps. Listening and wanting to know whether those footsteps were coming his way. And then asking for money. Pennies. No, he doesn't have much. Yes, he has an extra garment. Later on, he will throw it aside. But he used it as a beggar. Maybe it was that part of the garment stretched out on the ground, and people passing by would throw into that garment a coin or two, just enough so that he could buy some food to eat. But he's a beggar. Sad to see so much misery in our world, isn't it? To see people in the city sometimes, and you can tell on their clothes, or you can read the cardboard sign that they're holding up, homeless, hungry, or maybe a few words pass from their mouths, can you spare some change? It's a picture of misery, sometimes a case of great misery, but homelessness and poverty, however sad that is not our greatest misery. We have a far greater misery as a result of the fall in sin. It's that we are spiritually blind. That by nature we do not see what we need to see. That we're blind to God. We're blind to Christ. We're blind to our danger. We're blind to heaven. We're blind to hell. We are in the dark spiritually. In the words of Ephesians 4 verse 18, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Yes, we're spiritually blind by nature, but that's not all. We're also spiritually bankrupt, as Bartimaeus, begging. And debtors before God is what we are because of our sin and guilt. And without the riches of His grace, as Ephesians 1 verse 3 speaks about it, or Ephesians 3 verse 8, the unsearchable riches of Christ. And if we are without the riches of Christ, then we are bankrupt. And if we die that way, then we'll have to settle the debt then. And then it will be too late. And then in the words of the Lord Jesus, that will mean that we will be delivered to the tormentors of hell, till we should pay all that was due unto Him. And it will be eternal perdition. Matthew 18 verse 34. That's our misery. If only we could see it. But as Van Reinen said, our greatest misery is that we don't see our misery. Was that how it was for Bartimaeus? No. He knew his misery. He knew he was blind and bankrupt. He experienced it daily when he groped for the way and when he stretched out his hand and when he asked for some change as a beggar. And he wanted to be delivered from it. Do you understand, Bartimaeus? Desiring to be delivered from your spiritual bankruptcy, spiritual blindness. But there's a third thing we can say of him. Not only he could not see, and he wasn't rich, but thirdly, he wasn't deaf. He wasn't deaf. That was one thing he did have. He had ears to hear. And Bartimaeus, as most blind people, may have had a very good sense of hearing, overcompensating one sense with another sense. What all had Bartimaeus heard with those ears? Many things. Probably also things that he would not want to repeat. But with those ears, he had also heard of Jesus of Nazareth and what this Jesus was doing throughout the land of Palestine. Maybe he had heard some lines from his sermons, but also about his works that he was doing, how he was healing the sick and casting out demons. And maybe he had heard of the daughter of Jairus raised back to life. Or maybe he had heard of the blind man of Bethsaida, and Jesus had spat upon his eyes and his blindness was taken away. You see, people were speaking about the Lord Jesus. No, he had never heard Jesus himself. He had never seen the Lord Jesus perform a miracle himself. He had never seen a dead man raised back to life. He had never seen a sick person healed. But he had heard of Jesus. And he had heard of the works of the Lord Jesus. And all that Bartimaeus was hearing of Jesus made him ask himself, now, who is this Jesus of Nazareth? For Bartimaeus had also heard of the promises of the coming Messiah. Did his father Timaeus maybe teach him that the Messiah was coming, that the Son of David was coming, who would sit on the throne of David, and that the Messiah, according to Isaiah 35, would open the eyes of the blind? And did Bartimaeus, beginning to hear these reports of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit working faith in his heart, did it come that he did not just see Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, as the crowd will call him, but as the promised Son of David, the Messiah? He had heard. He wasn't deaf. What a privilege it is to have ears, and with our ears to hear something of the Lord Jesus, and to see something of your need of the Lord Jesus, and by the Holy Spirit's irresistible work, to have faith worked in your heart through the gospel. For faith, Romans 10 says, cometh by hearing. Yes, so that by hearing you may begin to see something of the Lord Jesus and of your need of Him. That's what Bartimaeus had. But the Lord Jesus was not in Jericho. And if only the Lord Jesus would pass by Jericho, and if only Bartimaeus would know that He was passing by, then he could ask for help and seek it. And he does. That's our second point. Sovereign mercy sought. Yes, that day came. A large crowd is passing through the city. It was that time of the year that pilgrims on their way to the feast of the Passover in Jerusalem, and then many came by way of Jericho, and maybe on other occasions like this in the past, maybe he had hoped for a good day, maybe he'd hoped for more coins thrown on in his garment. But with the passing of this crowd, he's curious, and Luke, the gospel writer, tells us that he asks what it meant. And then he hears the news that the Lord Jesus is passing by. And that's what he had longed for. And now the time has come. Then he doesn't need to think about it. And he doesn't need to discuss it first of all. And he doesn't have this struggle within his soul. No, hearing that Jesus is passing by, he simply calls. Without losing any time, he cries for help. He knows the Lord Jesus is here now and soon will be gone. But now He's here. Now He's passing by. In the words of Isaiah 55, verse 6, "Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near." And Bartimaeus doesn't say to himself, "Well, maybe I'll do it another time." He doesn't say to himself, "You know, I think I can postpone it. There will be no other time." Jesus is about 10 days away from His death on the cross. No, Bartimaeus doesn't know that. But it's the last time that the Lord Jesus is passing through Jericho, and the Lord Jesus will never pass that way again. He's here now. He's only a stone's throw away, and He'll never have this opportunity again. And so Bartimaeus begins to call. How? No, he doesn't mumble. He doesn't keep his voice low. No, he raises his voice. He cries. Above the noise of the crowd, there is this lone voice crying, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And when we listen to him pray, then we hear what he asks for. For mercy. He longs for the undeserved favor of God, the unmerited grace of the Lord Jesus. We hear what he asks for. We hear how he asks for it. He asks earnestly. He raises his voice, and it's not just a prayer with his lips, but it's from his heart. His need is great. And he asks in faith. After all, he believes Jesus is the Son of David. Yes, he asks in faith. The Lord Jesus will say it later in verse 52. "Thy faith hath made thee whole." And then we might ask this morning, and the children might ask it, now what is faith? And then we can give the definition that our Heidelberg Catechism gives in Lord's Day 7, which is a good and fitting definition. Not only an assured confidence, but also this assured knowledge. Or we can give the definition of Hebrews 11. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. But faith, you can say, is the wholehearted trust in the Lord Jesus that doesn't let go. But what can he plead? Does he think the Lord Jesus owes him something? Does he come with rights? Does he come with claims? Does he believe that Jesus is obliged to help him? That he's entitled to the help of the Lord Jesus? Or does he say, "Thou Son of David, let's make an exchange. I'll give this, and can you give me that? No, he has nothing. And he knows he has nothing that he can commend to Jesus. He doesn't have a list of accomplishments. He doesn't have a list that he can recite. He is poor and needy. It's mercy he asks for. Do you understand, blind Bartimaeus? And is that how you pray? Yes. Is this how you pray? In the words of our catechism in question answer 117, from the heart to pray to the Lord, rightly knowing our need and misery, yet fully persuaded that we're unworthy of it, and confiding in Him. Is it so that you pray, having nothing in your life to commend? In the words of the poet, my heart is vile, my mind depraved, my flesh rebels against thy will, I am polluted in thy sight. Yet, Lord, have mercy still. Or with David, God be merciful to me, on thy grace I rest my plea. Is that how you came to church this morning? With an earnest prayer in your heart for mercy? I did not ask if you feel the Lord has answered your prayer. But do you know what it is to beg? To beg at the throne of grace. Maybe with a short petition. Maybe it's with stammering. But with all the desire of your heart, Lord, have mercy. But then there can be discouragements in prayer. As with Bartimaeus, they told him to hold his peace. They told him to stop crying. You can imagine the embarrassment that you would feel if you were crying close to where you were standing. If you had a son that was like that, all of a sudden raising his voice, drawing attention to himself, you would want him to hush. The beggar has to keep quiet. No shouting like that. After all, Jesus is in the crowd and you have nothing to offer him. And maybe you've met with such discouragements too. Discouragements that say, and why would he listen to you? And why should he answer you? Look at you. You're weak. You're poor. You're miserable. You're guilty. And you feel it. That voice that says, just be quiet. What's the use? Why pray? It won't help anyways. And it seems sometimes as if it doesn't. For the Lord Jesus, even here, doesn't answer immediately. It's not as if at the first shout of Bartimaeus, Jesus responds. No, he doesn't respond till verse 49. What then? What happens in your soul then when you meet with discouragements in prayer? Do you just give up? Do you say, see, it doesn't help anyways? Or do you begin to pity yourself and say, yeah, no one cares for me anyways, and no one takes up my case, and not even the Lord Jesus will help me? Or do you say, but if I'm not elect, and if it's the Lord's will for me to see, I'll see, and I fold my arms and unbelief takes over? And unbelief can always find a reason to give up. And unbelief always finds a reason not to pray. But what does Bartimaeus do? Verse 48. He cried the more a great deal, Son of David, have mercy on me. Why? You see, every discouragement that he felt gave him more reason to cry to the Lord Jesus and not to give up, for he cannot do without the Lord Jesus. He must have him. He must be by him. And he cannot give up, and he doesn't give up, and he prays on and he asks on. But is it not hopeless, Bartimaeus? That's how it can seem sometimes, especially when the Lord doesn't seem to answer. But he prays on. Do you know why? Because he needs Christ. Or to put it in the words of Zechariah 12, verse 10. Oh, he didn't know that about himself. But it's the reason why he keeps crying. Because the Lord has given him the spirit of grace and of supplication. And that's why he keeps asking. And the Lord will not turn away the soul that cries to him. And as with Jacob at Peniel, Bartimaeus doesn't let him go till the Lord blesses him and mercy is received. That's our third point. Sovereign mercy received. Well, the crowd has kept moving. All these feet are moving in the direction of Jerusalem. And then the feet of Jesus stop. And the crowd comes to a standstill. And maybe there's a moment of silence, and Bartimaeus lets out one more cry. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Do you see what brought Jesus to stand still? The cry of a desperate man. And that the Son of God, the Son of David, the Lord of glory is standing still for this needy soul. And he gives instructions to call him. And you can understand that the voices that had been rebuking Bartimaeus now are kind. And they're now telling him to be of good comfort, for he calleth thee. And then Bartimaeus cannot stay back, and all that stands in the way must be set aside. And he throws the garment away from him in order to be by Jesus. And then Bartimaeus hears that astonishing question in verse 51. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Yes, what is it that Bartimaeus wanted from Jesus? Did he want some money? Did he want a handout? Did he want a place of shelter? Did he want a house? Did he want some new clothes? What did he think the Lord Jesus could do for him? There was one thing he wanted from the Lord Jesus, to be able to see. And he asks for it in love. And he asks for it in faith. And he uses the same address in the Greek as Mary Magdalene. Rabboni. That I might receive my sight. And the Lord Jesus opened his eyes. And Mark says in verse 52, and immediately he received his sight. Now let me draw some lessons. And the first lesson that I'd like to draw is that spiritual beggars shall receive. Spiritual beggars shall receive. This is a word of encouragement for those who call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe a boy or a girl or a young person. Or an adult, maybe someone in high age. Is that how you sit here this morning? Maybe with a need in your soul. You have to say, I can't see. I can't see what I need to see. I'm in the dark. I'm lost in this world. I'm without a guide through this life. And I am bankrupt. I have a debt before God. Why not tell him? Tell him that you need a new heart. Tell him that you need pardon. Or tell him maybe in the life of you, dear child of God, that you used to be able to see, but things have become dim again in your soul, and you don't know anymore. Lord, open thou my eyes again. And there are so many reasons for encouragement given in this passage. In spite of all the discouragements that you've met with, and in spite of all the disappointments that you've faced, let me give five encouragements. For one thing, the Lord passes by. No, He will not always pass by, but He is not far away now. And He passes by this morning in the garment of His Word. Jesus is passing by. Secondly, He hears. No, I didn't say that He answers right away, but He hears. He's listening. He was listening in the streets of Jericho. And though there was a crowd, and though there was much enthusiasm, He was listening for a cry that was different from all the talk and chatter round about Him. He was listening for the cry of that blind beggar. That's what He was waiting for. That's what He loves. A third encouragement, not only He passes by and He hears, but He stands still. He stands still. True, He was on His way to the Passover. He's on His way to the cross of Golgotha. He has to perform the work that His Father has sent Him to do. And His own heart may have been heavy with sorrow, but He stood still. Do you see what that says of the Lord Jesus? Others might not have time for you, but the Lord Jesus does. The Son of David has time for the most miserable. Also in Jericho and in Hamilton, He has time. Fourth encouragement, He asks something. He asks something, what do you want? And the answer then will reveal a lot about us. Are you concerned with your house and with what you eat and with what you wear and your outings and your activities? But when you're troubled with your soul, your sin, your spiritual blindness, you fill it in, you tell it to Him because He asks. And He wants to hear it from you, though He knows all about it Himself. And the fifth encouragement, not only that He passes by, and that He hears, and that He stands still, and that He asks something. Fifthly, He has gifts to give. Gifts to give. Psalm 68 says, even for the rebellious. It's encouragement for the seeker, isn't it? It's encouragement for the caller. In the words of Joel 2, verse 32, everyone that calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Though you're full of weakness, though you're full of misery, though you have empty hands, and others might say that disqualifies you from the Lord, but that's not what Jesus said. As David said somewhere in Psalm 34, verse 6, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. And saved him out of all his troubles. That's what blind Bartimaeus could say. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard, and the Lord stopped, and the Lord gave outcome. And He lets you hear, be of good comfort. Rise, He calleth thee. That's the first lesson. Spiritual beggars shall receive. The second lesson is faith shall be sight. Faith shall be sight. That's why Bartimaeus cried, and that's why Bartimaeus would not give up. The Holy Spirit had worked faith in his heart, and he longed to see, and his longing was satisfied. But what was it that he saw first? Was it the sun beaming in the sky? Was it the trees and the flowers? Was it the disciples of Jesus? Was it the people around the Lord Jesus? No. He was facing the Lord Jesus. His ears were tuned to the words of Jesus. And when the Lord Jesus took the scales from off his eyes, then he saw Jesus, the light of the world. faith became sight. And is that not what happens when the soul begins to long for the Lord Jesus? There he's troubled by his sin and his guilt. He's a miserable wretch. He meets with disappointments. He meets with discouragement. And what is it that a sinner wants? Just a sight of Christ. To see something of his beauty. And the Lord gives a glimpse of himself. Sometimes it's a small glimpse, a glimpse of his gentleness, or a glimpse of his kindness, a glimpse of his mercy, a glimpse of his power through the preaching of the word by the power of the Holy Spirit. After all, through the preaching of the word, Jesus is passing by. And he gives views of Christ. And that's what the soul longs for, that I might see Christ if it's right. And doesn't the soul also long for the day when faith will be sight, and the clouds will be rolled back, and to see him as he is, face to face? Faith shall be sight. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, and then it will be well. And the third lesson, not only spiritual, beggars shall receive, and faith shall be sight, but third lesson, the way forward is following Jesus. The way forward is following Jesus. Look one more time at Bartimaeus. The Lord Jesus had said to him, "Go thy way." He's healed. Where will he go? You might think that he would go to see his father or his mother or his brothers or his sisters. You might think he would go to see the people that took care of him day after day. Or you think he might say, "I want to see the great sights of Jericho. I want to see the culture and history." But we read in the last few words of this chapter this, "And he followed Jesus in the way." Jesus had said, "Go thy way." And he said, "I want to follow Jesus in the way." And which way is that? It's the way to the city of Jerusalem. Actually, it's the way to outside the city of Jerusalem, to the cross. And Bartimaeus will have to learn that too, that it's in the way of taking up your cross and following him. But as long as Jesus is there, that's all that matters, doesn't it? And the Lord Jesus goes forward. Yes, his heart and mind is set on the cross. How can he go forward? Because he sees here in Jericho, his work is not in vain. There is fruit upon his labor. In the words of Isaiah 53, he is seeing his seed in Bartimaeus. And another one will come along from Jericho too. Zacchaeus, a beggar. And a publican. And then I think the Lord Jesus picks up his pace. At least Hebrews 12 says this, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross." Or you can put it this way, he went that way for a people who see that they are nobodies, without honor, who are full of sin, but who cannot stay away from him. And he says, "Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. I will let you see me now, giving you glimpses." And his prayer is, "Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me." That's mercy, isn't it? And it's what he still gives in the way of asking. Is there anyone asking? Amen.